Today's readings have a star of the show, a person of shiny magnitude. We will come back to him later. Can you remember when you were looking for a partner? I used to read Jackie and Cosmopolitan when I was a teen. Tell me over coffee later if you read similar magazines. I'm very interested to hear if men had anything other than shady top shelf mags that might give hints on dating and love. In Jackie and Cosmopolitan, I was struck by all the things we wanted our partner to do. Go to work at a prestigious and well-paid job. Do all the carpentry and other jobs around the house. Mow the lawn. Drive us to the seaside. Be good at snogging. Tell good jokes. Pick up their dirty socks. Girls' magazines set out what the perfect chap would do in order to win our admiration and our hand in marriage. Regrettably, there was very little about character. Also, thinking back, those mags were pretty self-absorbed and seldom considered what we girls should be willing to do if we wished to be a suitable mate. I think we can think like that about our heavenly partner too, as his bride, about what he can do for us. The disciples often asked him when he was going to overthrow the Romans. The ordinary folk around him wanted him to generate some food or drink, or heal their poorly relatives. And as a religion, we are focused almost exclusively on his death as our passport to heaven. And again, we look to his end times return to kick butt and destroy our enemies and solve our problems. He must have got tired of all the demands on him. Today's gospel passage is another of those occasions when Jesus liked to get away from it all. He snuck off up a mountain with his friends. And they are treated to a magical sight. Like the vision of Daniel, they see Jesus in heavenly glory. Moses and Elijah join the party. And then Peter suggests putting up shelters for them all. This is what people did during the Festival of Booths. They put up temporary dwellings to represent the tents that the people of Israel stayed in during 40 years in the wilderness. I've heard it suggested that Peter is being thick or inappropriate by suggesting such an earthly response to such a heavenly occasion. I'm grateful to Jason Michelli for his thoughtful article some years back, which helped me to think differently about it. I'll read you a little bit of it. I'm supposed to point the finger at Peter and chalk this episode up as yet another example of obtuse, dunder-tongued Peter getting Jesus backwards. I'm expected to chide Peter for wanting to preserve this spiritual mountaintop experience. From there, preaching on the Transfiguration is permitted to go in one of two ways. I'm allowed to pivot from Peter's foolish gesture to the supposedly sophisticated observation that discipleship isn't about adoring glory or mountaintop experiences. No, it's about going back down the mountain into the grit and grind of everyday life, where we can feed the hungry and clothe the naked, and do everything else upper middle class Christians aren't embarrassed to affirm. Or rather than pivot to the poor, I can keep the sermon focused on Peter. I can encourage you to identify with the disciple whose mouth is always quicker than his mind and whose ambition never measures up to his courage. I could preach Peter to you and comfort you that Peter's just like you, a foolish, imperfect follower who fails at his faith as often as he gets it right. And yet, Jesus loves him and you and builds his church on him. That's how you preach this text. Go back down the mountaintop, back into real life, or look at Peter, he's just like you. Given the way sermons on the Transfiguration always go, you'd think these are the only two options allowed. And I read that a few years ago and I thought, wow, yeah. How else to look at this passage? So today's readings, with a nudge from Michelle, are an opportunity to take a different approach to Jesus. We could take a day off from thinking what he has done or will do for us. We can take time out from worrying or wishing according to what prophets old and new have spoken after God. We can quit trying to jump through the hoops of the law or churchy requirements. And we can gaze upon the lover of our soul. We can set down our worries. We can allow ourselves to be amazed. Peter was being treated to the sight of Jesus as fully human and fully God. He was seeing the creator, sustainer, and redeemer of the cosmos. In all his light, his love, and his goodness. In all his timelessness and all his power, Peter wanted to stay a while. This was something to savour, to note, and to remember. An unforgettable thing to be present to for as long as he could. And Jesus didn't tell him to go and do stuff. This was a time to be. And this brings me to today's picture. This is a photo by Laura. Isn't it great? Bees are around us all the time, busy doing their thing to make life sweeter. But we don't notice them. You have to sit still like Laura did to notice them, to see them properly. She sat and watched and took time to focus her macro lens. Jesus is all around us all the time too, making life sweeter by making the world over one conversation and one act of kindness at a time. Today's reading is about Jesus. It's not about how stupid Peter is. It's not about what we should do as a church about X or Y. It's about Jesus. Do we sit down to notice him? Do we allow ourselves to be a human being in his presence instead of a human doing? Church life can be all about doing too, asked Jeff and Paul. The voice during the Transfiguration suggested we listen to Jesus. We need to be. We need to be still. We need to listen. Not to Moses and the law, not to Elijah and the prophets, but to Jesus. Jesus' words trump all the others. Then now, always. Everything good in the world comes from him. Every happiness comes from him. All the love for our partners and our friends and our kids comes from him. Every breathtaking starry night, every sweet and tangy cherry pie, the furry cuddle with your cat or dog, that naughty laugh at the inappropriate joke, then, now, always. I'm going to pray now for all of us. Lord Jesus, help us to notice you. Help us to see you at work in our lives. And help us to make time to be in your presence. Amen.